I'll do the teaching later, but I'm going to just highlight a few things for you and tell you what I need to say. I did a word last week. We were talking about kingdom. And one of the things that we talked about with kingdom was the fact that kingdom, the essential part of kingdom, it's about a father and a son. And he gave his son to have many sons. And we talked about the fact that he has relationships he puts around us, our children. We learn from our children about being sons and daughters of the Father. We learn in relationships about being sons and daughters of the Father. We learn in the church body, in our family, the church family. We learn from one another about being sons and daughters. We also learn in relationships where we get hurt, where there's disappointment, where there's even betrayal, things like that. And we learn from those things. What we learn is we're learning to, because those things go deep. You don't get betrayed by the guy at the gas station. You get betrayed by somebody that you've opened your heart to, you know? By someone you're in relationship with, that you're close with, that you've become vulnerable around, and they can hurt you and betray you, and it goes deep in you. And so what happens in the midst of that is it requires that we pursue God in a great way so that we can allow Him to heal us, okay? And allow Him to heal the wounds. But at the same time, it causes us to learn to trust Him as our Father, to become sons and daughters. I'm just kind of giving an overview. In the process of this, it's doing something in us. God allows the hurts. He allows the betrayals. He allows those things because while we're pursuing Him in the process of that, it's doing the healing in us. It's doing all those things. But persecution and betrayal and things like that, when we make it through that without lashing out at everybody else, you know, without blaming everybody else, but we actually allow Him to shed light on things in us, and we get through that stuff, and we let Him heal us, etc. When we make it through that, the Bible tells us there's a greater glory on our lives. We actually become more like Him. We act more like Him as His sons and daughters, but there's a greater glory on us. I'm telling you, I'll do the teaching on it later. But this morning in here, as we were worshiping, He said, that's not just for you, but that's also about this church. The things that the church has gone through, the things, hurts, pains, persecution, things said about us, betrayals, etc., things like that that have happened, He said, there's greater glory on the church as well. There's a greater glory coming over this house as well. It's not just an individual thing, but it's also a corporate thing. Are y'all following me okay? By the Spirit of the Lord, I hope you are. I'll teach later. But I want to say something to you. Is there anybody in here who's just had a week of it? Amen. Come up here. Because when we learn to just let God do what God can do in us in the middle of that, there's greater glory on us on the other side of that. Where do you think? Let me say it like this. Do you think in Isaiah where it says that gross darkness is going to fill the earth and we're going to arise and shine? Do you think that one day all of a sudden we're just going to light up? No, we're learning right now in the school of relationships. We are. We're learning in the school of relationships how to let Him go deep in our heart, how to trust Him more and more as our Father, a trustworthy Father. But at the same time, the Bible tells us very clearly in Peter, a couple of places in Peter, it tells us clearly that it's through persecution, it's through these things where there's glory that comes on us. And as the church deals with things in the last days, y'all, it'll get worse and worse, okay? And as we learn to deal with these things, and as we grow in that and allow God to do that work in our hearts and in our lives, and we don't blame everybody else, but we just let Him work on us. Just let Him work on us so that we end up with that be of this attitude, the Beatitudes, you know. That we let Him do that, that we pursue Him even further, even more. And what happens is that greater glory comes. I don't know how He does it. He just does it because it's His kids, because we're learning to become more like sons and daughters. Amen. Of a good, good Father.
Amen.
Amen. So I just want to pray over you. And we receive this as a church as well. Amen. Amen. That the things we've gone through some stuff, haven't we? Come on, who can say amen to that? We've been through some stuff. God says there's greater glory on the other side of that when you learn to pursue Him and let Him bring the healing and let Him do in you what He wants to do, including us as a church. Lord, I don't have anything in particular to say except these are Your kids. You're their Father, and You have great desire for them. And that when they learn, and as we are learning, as we're learning to trust You more and more, we may not always get it right the first time around, but Lord, our heart is to want You to do such a work in us that we are Your sons and Your daughters. We reflect how our Father looks, the character of our Father, and Your glory shines over us. And I just release great, I just hear the words greater glory is all I hear. Greater glory on the other side of this. There's greater glory. There's greater glory on the other side of this. There's greater glory. Greater glory. There's greater glory on the other side of this. There's greater glory. There's greater glory. Yeah. There's greater glory on the other side of this. Greater glory. Yeah. Yeah. There really is. It's scriptural. Were you up here for support or prayer? There is greater glory on the other side of this girl. Yeah, yeah. It's greater glory. And the glory of the Lord will be seen on us. It'll be seen on us. Because we've been through some stuff and we stayed true. We've been through some stuff and we pursued Him and we let Him do it in us instead of us lashing out. We let Him do it. We let Him develop us, that we look more and more like His kids. Yeah. Do you want prayer? Okay. And I just thank You for this over our church too, Lord. Over the church as well. Greater glory. You know, we haven't always done everything right. Nobody's trying to say that, oh, we just did everything right. We haven't always done it right, have we? But we're learning, aren't we? Aren't we learning? To be sure, by now we're learning to do better and learning and growing in that and doing better and better and pursuing Him more and more and more. On the other side of that is when we really learn to trust Him as Father. We really do. We really learn to trust him as Father in a greater way than we've ever known him before. And there's greater glory that will rest upon us because we're his sons and daughters. And he wants that, especially the day and hour we're living in. Especially the day and hour we're living in. You are so right, Linda. It's a proofing. It is. And we're going to live out this proofing and as his sons and daughters. We are. We're going to make it through it. We'll be the living proof that he's a good father and that he has sons and daughters in the earth and that he's a glorious God and his glory will rest upon his church. But the glory rests upon his church as we make it through persecution and affliction, as we make it through hurts and betrayals and things like that. As we make it through that, amen, that's when there's the greater glory. And that's why we're going to see it in the last days, like we've not seen it before. Amen. But these things that we deal with now on this level, they're preparing us. They're preparing us. They are. You think she hurt your feelings. You think he said something mean. You know what I'm saying? Are y'all okay? All right. Read your Bible. It's not an easier thing. It just gets easier because we know who our Father is. It gets easier for us. The first time I ever really felt persecution or attack against my person as a pastor, he was excited about it. And I'm like, you're stupid. This is the most painful thing ever. You're crazy. Not stupid, but crazy. Can't be true. He was right. He was right. I mean, he kind of like acted like he looked forward to stuff like that. Why? Give me your head. It's on wrong. No, it was on biblically, actually. It was on biblically. Correct. He learned in Bible college the right way. I did not. I like it easy. Come on. Who doesn't, right? Oh, he does too, but you know. But the Bible is still true. It still is the truth. Amen. All right. I'm excited about what he said about us as a church. Are y'all? You've act like it. Wait till the glory be on us as a church and you're going to go, ah, like that, right? No, you're not that either, huh? Okay. Never mind. All right. I have something I want to share, a couple of things. And I need you kids to bear with me just a minute. Because today is Memorial Day. And there's someone in here that I believe we need to honor. And that's Linda Hook. And I want to just share a little bit. And then we just want to honor her this morning, okay? Linda's husband, Peter Hook, the father of two sons, Greg and David, and a daughter, Amy, was an F-15E strike pilot who lost his life in Desert Storm, September 30th, 1990. And we want to honor his life. His wife, his family. I think that day was Amy just turned one. Is that right? Amy turned one that day. We're grateful for his service and his willingness to put his life in danger, as all who join the armed services do. And we are very grateful for all of them. Jason, you served and retired from the Air Force. Who else joined service at any time? Okay. But you also have families that, you have people in your family who did. But he was willing to put his life in danger to serve this country, and he actually died in service. And so I looked it up and found that the 336th FS, is that Fighter Squadron? Is that what that stands for? They named their heritage room after Peter to honor his life and death in serving this country. Is that amazing or what? And I saw where your son, David, had come to Seymour Johnson, who is also a pilot, and was able to go there, and he actually got the opportunity to fly a plane just like his father had flown. What an honor, huh? And I saw pictures of him, in that plane. And we don't always realize the importance of these days that we honor those who've given their lives in service for our country, for our freedom, for our very freedom. And her husband was a man who did that, a young man. And so you had a mama who raised three children without a husband because he gave his life for this country. What an honor. And we want to honor you because you did it and you did it well. You probably shook and knees knocked the whole way or a lot of the way, but you did do it. And we honor you this morning, Linda. We thank you for your husband and his life and your family. Let's, everybody just stand up. Come on, everybody just get up. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Amen. I wanted to stop and get her flowers or something. And I wanted them fresh, so I was going to wait and do it this morning. And then the guy that was supposed to come tomorrow to get the Balik Bayong boxes from me sent me a message this morning. I'm coming to your house, Mom, this morning at 9 o'clock. I said, can you come a little earlier than that? He's writing it all in Visayan, except I understood this morning, and I understood 9 o'clock because it was 9 a.m. He wrote 9 a.m. I'm like, is there any way? And then he started answering in Visayan. I said, can you write that in English? I don't know what you're saying. So I didn't make it to the store, but we love you, Linda, and we honor you. And we look up to you as a mama who raised her children and did a good job. And look what her sons, her daughter, and this son who now, what is it he flies? T-36. Okay. He's a major. At the time, it was a bomber, wasn't it? At the time I read the article. It didn't say that name. That it just said something about a something bomber. You did a good job. And he said he was 10 years old when this took place. And he got a coin. Okay. Okay. Okay.
But at the time, David was
going to turn 3 and 9. Okay. So I got the 10 mixed up with that. Okay. That's awesome. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. For those who didn't hear that, she was saying that we should honor the fact that she allowed the Lord to be her husband and to help her in raising her children and taking care of and making decisions in a really horrible situation. But he's faithful. He was faithful, and she let him. She let him be her husband. And so there's so much to be said for that. So much, so much. Anybody ready to give their tithe and offering to the Lord? We can do that now. I want to read you a scripture. The Lord said, I want you to read this. I just want you to read this. Okay. Because I was thinking about other parts of this that are so good. He said, no, I just want you to read this. And I want you to tell them, this is what I want you saying. In your giving, this is what I want you saying. And mine is in my pocketbook. I want to get it real quick, and I want to do what he said. How many of you know it's good to just do what God says, right? He does it a whole lot better than me. And this is in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. This is a verse that I used to quote all the time. But from time to time, you don't, just because things are working out, you don't quit holding on and to the things that got you where you are. Right? Hello? You know, you stand on verses for certain things you're asking God about in your life. But then a lot of times when God moves in that area, we move on to the next thing and we don't continue. Right? So let's hold on to the scriptures and the things that God has helped us get through before. And that is, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. Don't you love that? So now let's say it personally, okay? I'm going to say it and then you say it and start doing this. And God is able to make all grace abound to me, that I, always having all sufficiency for all things, I can give to every good work. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. On my way here this morning, the Lord put this in my heart. I'll let them finish up. I mentioned this a few weeks ago when Jonathan had a word that he shared in here. And I mentioned this, the importance in Ephesians 4, where he talks about the fivefold ministry. And he says, he talks about the fact that of us honoring them and to the degree, says to each one of us, grace is given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So when we receive of the gift that God gives us, then to that degree, the gift that's on their life, we're able to receive of that. When we're not receiving, when we're not honoring of the gift, then we don't receive of it. We don't receive. And it's that simple. But I kept hearing him talking about in this hour that we're in right now, there are fivefold ministry gifts that have been given to the church to grow her up, so that she's no longer tossed to and fro,
2 and 4, to and fro by every little wind of doctrine, by every little newest thing that's being said, but that she would grow up unto him who is the head, and that we would grow up a body that's in proper proportion to the head. If you looked at the body right now and Jesus Christ, the head on the body, I would say the body is in really jacked up proportion. Wouldn't y'all? But he's saying, I've given five gifts to the church to equip her to grow up into a mature man, into a mature body that's in equal measure with the head, who is Jesus Christ. That we could speak the truth in love. Not just love to tell the truth, but actually speak truth in love and because of love. Amen. That there be a unity of the faith. Have you ever seen such division in the body of Christ? And just about this one and that one and the other one and so forth. I believe that God is wanting to grow up and mature his church. Read John 17, Jesus' prayer, about where unity is concerned, that they would be one as we are one, you and me, Father, that they would be made one in us. There are things that he says in there that are his desire. Do you think God wants to answer Jesus' prayer? Hello? Does anybody think that God has full intentions of answering Jesus' prayer? I believe he does. I believe he does. And he has given gifts to the body to help equip her and mature her and ready her. And I'm so grateful for that. There are those in here who are some of the equipping parts who can help equip. Amen. And I believe as the days go through the summer and so forth, we're going to be hearing from some. Eric Miller will be back as well. Joe Woodard will be here as well. And all of these are different ones that help equip us. Amen? But we have people in our house as well. And I'm so grateful. And aren't you grateful you don't have to hear me every week? All the time. Probably feels like it sometimes, like, good Lord, my dear, all the time. And Shane's like, and I got to hear it at home too. So I want to let's be grateful for the gifts that we have in our house. Amen. And honor them. Honor the gift God gave us. Be thankful for what he gave us. And receive of it so that we can receive the equipping we need, the preparing that we need, the grace that's on each one of them, that we can receive of that as well. You know, I shared with you, you receive the prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. What was the prophet's reward for the woman? The little woman and man, they built a room for the prophet coming through. She's picked up her Bible and walking now. She ain't hushing. What was the reward? What was it? He said, what do you want? You've never been able to have a kid. She said, don't you mess with me, prophet. Don't you mess with me. He said, no, you'll have a son. You'll have a son. And she did. They had built a little room for the prophet at their house coming through. And she got the prophet's reward. The reward of honoring the prophet. Come on, are y'all hearing me? And she got a son. One day in the field, I don't know if he fainted or what happened to him, but he died. And she is beside herself as any mama in here would be. You come and you prophesy and get for me to have a son and then he's going to die? Are you kidding me? It don't work that way. Does it? Does it? That's what Kelly said in the hospital when they came back with the next group of doctors and started giving her yucky reports. And she was like, everything I ever heard or saw, every dream I ever had, he was a kid. And it doesn't go with what the prophet said when I was pregnant with him. And she held on to that and he lived and is still very much alive and full of energy and life. Thank you, Lord. But the prophet said, bring him to me. And he took him to his room. And he prayed over him and prayed over him. And then he laid on him. And that boy came to life. Amen. Amen. I want the prophet's reward. How about y'all? I want all the fivefold ministries' reward that they carry. I do. I do. But this morning we're going to get the prophet's reward. Kids, are y'all ready to go to class? You heard some stuff this morning though, didn't you? Come on, it's good teaching, wasn't it? Yeah. Go ahead, kids. Lord bless our kids and our teachers. May your spirit be upon them in their classes. Amen. One of you kids say amen. Come on. May your spirit be poured out in those little kids' lives too. Amen. Lord, thank you for giving the church the fivefold ministry. You gave them to the church. And you have blessed us. And we're grateful. We're grateful for the gift that you've given us in Jonathan. He is the gift. We thank you for it. I thank you for your hand on his life. And I thank you for greater glory. Now fill his mouth and cause him to speak what you would have him to say this morning to us. And we honor and receive him right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Well, today is Pentecost. So Pentecost represents a festival that the Jewish people would celebrate. And it would be the beginning of the wheat harvest. Okay, so this was the first harvesting of the wheat. It was usually the best part of the wheat. And so they would celebrate. This would be 50 days after Passover. There was a first fruits, which was usually the barley, the first of the barley, that because it would come earlier. And the only reason I know this, not because I'm a farmer, because I looked it up, I had to refresh myself because I forgot all the details of all these different weeks. But Pentecost, so the day that they were celebrating Pentecost, we think about Pentecost as Acts chapter 2, but that had been in their history. They were celebrating the work of their hands of planting the fields, and now it's harvest time. And what they would do is they had several different offerings that took place. And you can read them in Leviticus 2. You can read about the different harvest for the wheat and the barley and how they did those different type of sacrifices and offerings. What's interesting about that is all those offerings that were done, they were symbolic of what Jesus would do for us, right? They were symbolic of how he would take away our sins. They were symbolic of how he was our provision. They're symbolic of how what was unclean in us can be cleansed again, even from the place of cooking and the way they prepared the bread and so forth was all symbolic of his life. And a very key piece in the puzzle of these feasts and these sacrifices was leaven. And the word leaven is, you know, the stuff is yeast, basically. It's the stuff that makes the bread go poof. It makes it big, right? And there's things in our lives that can cause us to poof pride, sin, things that cause our lives to explode, to all of a sudden things get big, right? And the Bible says that that in Leviticus it says that the leaven was not supposed to be in any offering or sacrifice unto the Lord, because leaven was representative of sin. Because sin doesn't just impact one area of your life, it invades and it impacts the whole loaf. It impacts every area of your life. And so unleavened bread is what they used in Passover. It's what they used in the feast of first fruits and the other feasts. But there's one place, and it's in the day of Pentecost, that they actually bake bread with leaven. Now, they don't offer it up on the fire. They don't burn it before the Lord. It's not an offering unto the Lord, but it's where the priest holds it up, and it's a wave offering, and he takes two loaves during Pentecost, and they're actually leavened bread. So he waves it in the air, and it's not unto the Lord. It's actually for the priest. They're going to eat that, and it's going to be a part of their meal, and it's a celebration that harvest has come. And so this is interesting, because there's this dichotomy, and I think there's this, in the church today there is as well, where it has to do with the work of our hands. Okay? And I want to dive into that today, because I believe the Lord wants to talk to us about what we do and how we bring the influence of the kingdom into our area of influence. Okay? And I believe that in order for us to see this, we have to understand this aspect of leaven, and not only what we see in the Old Testament, but what Jesus says, and then we'll have a clear picture of, Lord, how do you call me to influence the world around me? Okay? So let's pray before we do that. Father, we just pray that you give us the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding. As we dive into the scriptures, I pray that you would illuminate and highlight what you're speaking so very clearly to us, that you give me voice to share exactly what you'd have me to share, and that, God, it would cause our hearts to abound in joy, knowing that we can go and our labor is not in vain when we are working and doing what you tell us to do. And so, Lord, I just thank you for the joy of what we're celebrating today of Pentecost. It's not only the celebration of that it's harvest time, but it's also a celebration that you're with us in that harvest to empower us, to strengthen us, and to enable us to be your witness everywhere we go. And so, Lord, thank you for just pouring out your spirit, even this morning, as we look at truth of the Word of God, let it get planted deep in our hearts, and let it produce a harvest of right living in and through us. And so thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So let me take a couple of steps back first and examine a couple things in the Old Testament, and then we'll dive into some things that Jesus said. Okay? So again, leaven is representative of sin, and so they offered unleavened bread. But you do have this one occasion where leaven is placed in there, and it's on the day that they're celebrating the wheat harvest, the first fruits of that, and they are celebrating unto the Lord, and it is the portion of the priest. Now, we know that when we became born again, that we are now a kingdom of what? Priests unto our God, right? So now there is no more Levitical priesthood. We become priests and kings in the kingdom of God. So we have influence both to mediate the covenant with other people. So we share the gospel. We share that covenant message of who Jesus is. And we're also as kings because we've been given authority and power, right? So we've been given both. So there's the authority of the believer, and then there is the priesthood of the believer as well. So we have both dynamics. And of course, in the Old Testament, the only people that were anointed were what? Kings, priests, and prophets, right? So now the body of Christ, the anointing abides in you. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the presence of God. And now we function as the ambassadors of the kingdom of God, to bring the kingdom of God into the world around us. And so the question arises, how do we do that? Well, Jesus instructs his disciples about the kingdom, and he first tells them, we see the fact in Luke, in chapter 13, verse 20, is it says, "And he said to them, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? He said, it is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till it was all leaven." In other words, it influenced the whole thing. So the kingdom is like leaven, and the fact that it will, when it comes in, just take one piece and it will invade the whole lump. Okay? Now, we've already seen the example in the Old Testament that they're also, that sin is like leaven, and if it's left unchecked, if it's not dealt with through the blood of Jesus, then it will influence the whole lump too, right? So you have two types of influence. You have the influence of darkness, that can invade and impact an area, but you also have the influence of the kingdom that can invade and impact an area too. And so we have to stop and say, okay, so how do we make sure that what we are spreading, if you will, is of the kingdom? How do we do that? Well, in 1 Corinthians, I want you to flip there, and this is kind of going to, we're going to build off of this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And then we'll dive into some of the leavens that Jesus talks about. In chapter 5, we'll start with verse 6. He says, in the context of this, he's writing to the people in Corinth. They've had several issues, okay? They've had arguing and dissension amongst them. They've had one group suing the other group. They've got immorality taking place. So there's a bunch of sin going on in the church, all right? There's a bunch of things happening. And so Paul is giving them instructions on how to deal with this. And so in the midst of dealing with one of the situations, he says to them, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And so I want to dive into these different things that he's talking about here. The first one was the old leaven, which is very much the leaven of the Pharisees. Remember, Jesus talked to the disciples when they were on the boat, they were leaving the Galilee, and he said, beware of what? Leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of who? Herod. Okay? So Jesus instructs his disciples. Of course, they didn't get it. They just thought they forgot bread. Right? I mean, and I realize Jesus often talked to them in riddles and stuff, but
they just got fed.
Yeah, they just didn't get it. You know, sometimes we can be like that too, right? I mean, you stop and you go, oh man, I was really dumb there. Anybody ever had those moments? I have those moments quite often. Like, oh God, why didn't I not get that? You set me up, and then I mean, you gave me the answer to the test, and I still failed. How did that happen? Like, we often do that, and we often do that because we are focused on the wrong things. Okay? We're focused on what we want. We're focused on our own desires. We're focused on whatever appetites we have. We're focused on whatever pressures are coming against us. We're focused on whatever injustice we see. We focused on whatever bad has happened, whatever the drama is. We often get sucked in, and we focus on the wrong things, and therefore when we focus on those things, even the things that we hear come through the filter of what we focused on. And as a result, our hearts get contaminated because now we're being influenced not by what God is saying, but by what we're seeing. And the Bible says that we're not to walk by sight, but to walk by faith, correct? And so if we're going to influence the kingdom the leaven of the kingdom, if we're going to impart what God says and what God is doing, then we have to keep our focus and attention on Jesus. I mean, that's Hebrews chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12, right? That we have to put our intent and our focus on the Lord. And we can't get distracted by the other things, because what was the leaven of the Pharisees and what was the leaven of the Herodians? The Pharisees were focused on what they wanted, on popularity, on what the people thought about them, on reputation. Theirs was on the control, religion. Herod's was what? Political power, wickedness, adultery. What was his leaven? I mean, think about it. What was he doing? There was injustice. He was lying on people. He was doing things to gain what? Political power. That was his focus. When we focus on self, when we focus on the things going on around us and we don't put our gaze on Jesus, who we are called to be and what we are called to do gets skewed by the environment around us. We can actually be going towards what God is saying to do, but be approaching it from a mindset that's not of the Lord. So Pentecost is all about, you can't go, this is what Jesus said to them, you can't go and be who I've called you to be in the world, to influence the world with the kingdom of God until what happens? The Holy Spirit comes and invades your life, and he's going to do two things. He's going to fill your mouth, but he's also going to baptize you in what? Fire. Well, what was the two different types of offerings that we saw? We saw the presentation of the leavened bread waving in the air. It was seen. But you also saw the unleavened bread burnt at the offering. So there is something that has to take place where we are sacrificing what we want and what we think and who we are at the altar of the Lord to say, Lord, here I am. Purge me, cleanse me. And how do we live? We live according to what he says, what Paul says to the Corinthians here in verse 8. We don't do it from the old leaven, the old way of seeing things. We don't do it through like the leaven of Herod, through malice and wickedness. Instead, we do it through the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And this is what I want to say to you this morning. There's something so powerful when humility and truth operate in an individual's heart. Because when you humble yourself to say, Lord, here I am, and this is all that I am, the good, the bad, the ugly, and I lay it at your feet, do with me as you will. And there's parts that he burns, and then there's parts that's now provision for you as the priest. So there's a separation, right? There's things that God wants to purge out of our lives, and then there's things that he wants to do that's going to bring provision to our lives so that we can influence for the kingdom of God. The problem that we often have, though, is that we are so busy justifying what we think is right, oftentimes, especially when it has to do with our own individual life, right? Think about us. When injustice has happened, when we've encountered suffering, or we've encountered something hard, or we've encountered something that where we've lost something, whether it be through hard relationships, whether it be whatever, we usually are so busy justifying what we think is right that we don't humble ourselves to sincerely hear what God's saying and to receive His truth. We're usually fighting for our right to get something made right. And Jesus says what? To surrender those things unto Him. And He's the one who will sort it out, and He will purge and ignite on fire to purify our lives, and He will bring the provision for us to do what He's called us to do. If we try to influence the kingdom any other way, to use the influence of the kingdom to impact people's lives any other way, then what happens is we end up inevitably taking on the leaven of the Pharisees or the leaven of Herod. Because then we will take on their tactics. Gossip, lying, manipulation, control. We will end up utilizing the tools of the enemy to try to promote or further our own agenda. And we can even have a God agenda, but utilize tools of the enemy and actually nullify what God is trying to do. In other words, we end up like Esau, we end up forsaking our inheritance because of our own appetite. What we think, what we want, how we want it. And this is the struggle that Jesus recognized, not just in His disciples, but in all of us. That unless we are at the altar where the fire of God can cleanse us to produce sincerity and truth, unless we're at that place where the Holy Spirit can infill us to give us the mind of Christ, then no matter what He gave us to do, inevitably the leaven that's in the world, the sin that's in the world, will sidetrack us and derail us off the path that God has for us. So Pastor mentioned earlier about suffering. And sacrifice is a part of suffering, right? When I sacrifice, it's a realm of suffering. It's willful suffering. Sacrifice is willful suffering. I'm giving something of mine to lay down. Now, there's two ways to look at it. It can be done in a place of obligatory duty, and oh, that's what I got to do. Or it can be done in through celebratory joy, knowing that what I give unto the Lord, it will be brought back and produce greater results in me than what I could ever do, right? So there's two mindsets in that. And really, those two mindsets are, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the opposite of righteousness, peace, and joy, unrighteousness, chaos, right? Misery, complaining, ungratefulness, bitterness. These are the two leavens. What are we going to influence with? If we find ourselves in that place of bitterness and malice, because one translation in this, it says in 1 Corinthians 5, where it says we can do it with malice. So let me find it again. With malice and wickedness, one translation says bitterness and hatred. We got to forsake the leaven of bitterness and hatred. It's so very easy to stand in a position of, you know, when you're wrong, you're just wrong, right? But it's very difficult when you're right to humble yourself and endure persecution. Because you're right. At least you think you are. A lot of times when we think we're right, we're not even right, right? But when you are right, it's even a more difficult place because now this thing of, oh, wait a second, this is wrong. And it's in those places of persecution and suffering, Jesus said you would be persecuted for my sake, for righteousness' sake, meaning for doing the right thing, people are going to come against you. And to rejoice in it. Why? Because if you don't rejoice in it, you're going to get bitter in it and you're going to start influencing in the way of darkness. Pentecost is all about the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the coming of fire so that we could be a bold witness to exemplify who Jesus is and spread the leaven of the kingdom. And so Jesus prepared them over and over and over again. If they did this to me, they're going to do this to you. And you got to be prepared that how do we walk this out? We walk it out in sincerity and in truth. And this word sincerity is really about having a clear conscience. It's about having a clear conscience before the Lord that I do not stoop down to the level of the enemy and picking up any weapon that he has or any tools that he has. Instead, I stay in a place of honoring. I stay in a place of forgiveness. I stay in a place of gratitude. I stay in a place of joy. I stay in a place where I continue to bless those that curse me, do good to those who despitefully use me. You got to arm yourself and be intentional in this way, or the enemy will sneak in the back door and convince you to do it another way. And the moment you take a bite of that apple, buddy, you're going down that path. Because remember, it's just a little leaven. It'll spread through the whole bunch. And so the enemy knows that he knows all I've got to do. If I can just get them bitter, get them upset, get them bitter, get them where they don't forgive, get them where they hold something against someone. The moment he can get you that way, it doesn't matter how right you are, you become wrong when you allow the leaven of the enemy to influence the way you think. Because now, everything you do hear from the Lord now comes through that filter instead of what he's really saying. Well, how do we know that? Well, let's take the Pharisees, for example. They had the Word of God before them constantly, didn't they? But what they heard, they didn't apply to themselves, but they applied it doubly to the people around them. They were judgmental, they were condemning, they were harsh, they were unforgiving, they were bitter, they were hostile. They were murderers, literally murderers. They murdered the Christ. I mean, they wanted to kill, and they killed every Christian they could get a hold of. What happened? They were being influenced by the leaven of the world. And as a result, they had the right stuff, but they were doing it all wrong. How do we make sure that we stay there though? Again, it's very simple. It's that place of sincerity and truth. It is the place of humbling yourselves before the Lord to say, Lord, here I am. What do you want to do in and through me? When you don't know how to respond, or when things happen, or when hardship happens, I can tell you how what the correct response is. It's not to lash back. It's not anger. It's not hostility. It's to humbly say, okay, Lord, how do I bless those that curse me? Holy Spirit, how do I love those who hate me? How do I do what's right, even if they're doing everything wrong? And this is actually the mark of maturity, that you've allowed the love of God to have its way in your heart and life. It's actually the realization, the overflow of a deeper work of the leaven of the kingdom invading your heart and working out a harvest of right living. And it's easy to talk about, but it's a totally different thing to go through, isn't it? It's easy in idea to talk about this is the practice that we're supposed to do, but then let somebody cuss you out, let somebody mistreat you, let somebody go and are going after you and going after your family or doing things against you. The test doesn't really, it sounds good sitting in a safe environment like this, but when the tests come, that's when your opportunity to put into practice to see, is the kingdom in you? Are you of the kingdom, or is there something else in you? And I'm telling you, when those tests come, it exposes any area that there's other things, any ways, thinking. Which is good, because it puts you in a place to recognize, Lord, I need to grow right here. I need your help right here. And that is the good news of Pentecost as well, because He sent the Holy Spirit to help us, didn't He? That He's present, He's with you, He'll never forsake you, and all you have to do in that moment is to whisper, Holy Spirit, help. And He's there. Now, I'm here to tell you, oftentimes you may not know what to do, and that's where the Bible says when you don't know what to do, you stand with your mouth closed. Right? Shut up and be still and know that the Lord is present. Because because the moment we open our mouth and we don't know what to do, something else is going to come out. Because if we don't know what to do, that means we haven't really heard from the Lord yet, and we're going to be digging out from somewhere else. We're going to be pulling things from other places. And most likely it's not going to be the Lord.
No.
And you're going to have to clean up your mess afterwards.
Yeah.
And I get tired of cleaning up my messes, don't you? Gosh, it's so humiliating to clean up your own dang messes. Oh my gosh. And so it's like, okay, Lord, how do we do this? How do we take the right steps to extend your kingdom in every area of life? And the answer that I got from the Lord is we have to, like good soldiers, learn to endure suffering. You know, we live in a society today where the world, you know, it's craziness out there. I mean, I don't have to describe all the dynamics of crazy, right? But we live in a world where everybody's offended at everything. I mean, if you don't use the right pronoun, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is insanity. But it is deeply impacting the church instead of the church impacting the culture. And the question is why? How is it that it's impacting the church? And I believe it's because we've not walked in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We still are looking at our rights instead of our our privilege in Christ. That's probably the best way to say it. We have a privilege in Christ to endure suffering for righteousness' sake, to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. This is a privilege and an honor. In fact, if you go and read the book of Revelation, the highest honor in heaven are those that are martyred for the faith. Like they're given a special place in the kingdom. And you think, whoa, wait a second. No, no, no. There is something beyond what we can comprehend when we are faithful to God and what He's saying to do, and we endure persecution as a result of saying yes to Him. There is a privilege. And Pastor Troy touched on it just this moment, but there is a privilege because the little minute suffering that we encounter right now produces a much weightier measure of the glory of the Lord. It doesn't even compare, but it will produce something beyond what we can comprehend or understand. What am I saying to you today? I'm saying to you that the Lord has a tremendous work to be able to do in and through your life, whether it be on a platform or whether it be in secret. It doesn't matter. The leaven, it doesn't matter how the leaven gets there. If it gets inside that lump of bread, it just goes and spreads out. God will use some of you quietly through prayer. God will use some of you in quiet conversations with your neighbor. God will use some of you in places of being very outspoken at work. Some of you, through your work, they see the display of His kingdom. Through your excellence and through your integrity, through your honesty, through the sincerity of your heart, they see a reflection of who you are. But no matter who you are and no matter where you are in life and no matter what realm of influence the Lord has given you, when you are walking in sincerity and truth, you can be assured of this one thing: the kingdom is working and it's invading. And people can't figure out what's going on or how it's coming, but you are influencing the atmosphere. And it gives people the opportunity to encounter the King. But we cannot do that without the Holy Spirit. We need Him every day to show us His perspective, to reveal what is really important, and to empower us when we walk through challenges to continue to reflect Him. We cannot do it without Him. And today we celebrate Pentecost in the fact that He didn't just show up, but He came in power, and He came in authority, and He came not just to be with us every once in a while, but He came to dwell in us so that even in our deepest thoughts, He can invade even there to bring about the sincerity and truth of the gospel so that the kingdom can be displayed in and through our lives. How do we live that way daily? Through humility. Humbly accepting the task the Lord's put before us and saying, Lord, I will be obedient even in the face of suffering. Because I recognize, like Paul said, the limited amount of suffering. And here's a guy who's been stoned like 6 or 7 times and beaten and eventually was beheaded. He said, this is nothing compared to the glory that awaits those who are obedient to the Lord. What I want to leave you today, and I think it's appropriate, you know, we celebrate Pentecost and it's also Memorial Day weekend, where we celebrate people who sacrificed their lives. In the same way, the Lord has asked us to lay our lives down as a sacrifice unto Him. To lay down our thoughts, our opinions, our wants, our desires, to lay it all before Him, to say, Lord, here I am. Have Your way in and through me. I yield to You. Search me, know me. Is there anything unclean in me? Let the fire of God come and purge out anything that's not of You. And fill me with Your authority. Fill me with Your power. Fill me with Your strength. Fill me with Your wisdom. Fill me with Your insight and Your strategy and Your way of doing things. Give me the mind of Christ so that I can move forward in the authority and power of the believer to extend the kingdom of God everywhere I go. When we do that, and it's sometimes it's an hourly process. I mean, especially if you're in the middle of hardship, if you're in the middle of things getting exposed or God purging things, sometimes it's a minute by minute thing. God, here I am. Hey, you remember me, right? Because it is very easy to get distracted and pulled away. But the thing is, what do? If we get pulled away, if we act in a way that's not, we come back to that place in sincerity and humility to the Lord. Here I am, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me. He's faithful and just to do that. To not only forgive you, but to do what? To cleanse you. And I don't know about you, but this morning I feel like that we have been influenced oftentimes, our thinking, our perspective, our attitudes, by the leaven of the world and not the leaven of the kingdom. How do we know? Because as soon as the pressure comes, we have certain reactions, right? And injustice takes place, we have certain reactions. And so I believe this morning what the Lord wants to do is He wants to cleanse us. And it's not just a washing of the feet, it's the fire of His presence. Because some stuff, the only way to get it out is to burn it out. Because you don't want any residual effects of it. You got to get it out completely. Because even just a little bit of thinking that's connected to the world can invade other areas and affect your witness. Remember Acts chapter 2? Is what? To tarry here until you be endued with power so you may be what? A witness. Jesus is wanting you to be a witness to testify of who He is, to prove who He is in the things that you do and the way that you live. And as a result, He will receive glory. So we need the fire of the Lord to come in and have His way in us, don't we? Amen. All right, if you'll stand, I want to pray for you. Not a long word, but I believe it's very, very important for us to understand. You know, another thing that happens is when we go through trials and testing, it does something to help sharpen our character, doesn't it? The Bible says that. It says that it gives us the place to produce in us right living if we submit to the Lord. And so the disciples on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord. And the word one accord means they were all in agreement. And what were they in agreement with? Well, they were in agreement with what Jesus said, that if they wait, they will be endued with power so they can be a witness. For them, it was God had an appointed time when the Holy Spirit would come. But when He came, there was a sound that was so loud that not just the people in the room impacted it, the people in the entire community heard it and ran to see what is going on. Here's the truth. When the Holy Spirit, when we yield to Him in a place of sincerity and truth and truly surrender to Him to have His way without any of our control in the process, He comes in such a way that the community begins to wonder what's going on. And when they approach, what should they hear out of our mouths but the testimony of who Jesus is? And so I believe that we should position our hearts this morning, just looking at your own life, just right where you are. Lord, search us if there be any place that's not clear before you, Lord. We confess it to you. Forgive us in these areas. Cleanse our hearts and our minds. Lord, we lay down pride. We lay down anger. We lay down any place of perversion. We lay down any place of desire or lust. We lay down any place, Father, of selfish ambition. We lay down any place of promoting other things than your way of doing it. We lay down the opinions of the world and the leaven of the Pharisee and the Herodians. We lay down any place of control that we have tried to grab a hold of that is not in line with who you are and what you're wanting to do. We lay it down. We ask that you forgive us and cleanse us. We lay down offenses, bitterness, hatred, resentment, unforgiveness. And we forgive those that have hurt us, those that may have betrayed us, those that have said evil things against us. Those that have persecuted us for righteousness' sake, we forgive, we bless them. We pray, God, that You would minister to them, that You would strengthen them. We ask that the love of God would be poured out over them. And that You would have Your way in their lives, that You would breathe Your breath of life over them. That You do good to them and strengthen them. We pray, Father, that You would have Your way in our hearts. That there be no wicked way found in us, no place of malice or wickedness, nor the leaven of the world be found in us. But we ask that You purge us right now by the fire of Your presence, that You would cleanse our hearts and minds. Any way we're thinking, any place of focus that's not been You, we pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would come and baptize us afresh in the Holy Spirit and in fire, and would cause those things to be purged out of our lives and to make our hearts clean and our conscience clean and our hearts and minds clean, that You would wash us not only by the power of Your Word, but that You would purify us by the authority of the fire of God and purge and cleanse our hearts. Do that work in us right now in Jesus' name. Set us ablaze for You. We yield to You. Have Your way in and through our lives. We make it the declaration of our mouths. Lord, we desire for Your kingdom come, for Your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's our prayer that it be done in our personal lives, in our marriages, in our homes, in our community, in our workplace. It's the declaration of our mouth that Jesus is Lord over our lives. It's the declaration of our mouth that the Spirit of the Lord dwells in us, and He has anointed us and gifted us and graced us with the authority of Christ to walk in His ways and to extend the kingdom of God. It's the declaration of our mouths that we will not partake, we will not give in, we will not bow to the leaven of the world or the Pharisees or the Herodians. We will not pick up the tools of the enemy to justify self, to promote our own ideas, to give way to our own desires, but we will yield in humility to the God of the age, who is Christ Jesus, who rules and reigns forever, and we yield to His Lordship for Him to have His way in and through us. We forsake the agenda of the enemy where any place where we've agreed with it because injustice has been had, where things have been done to us, where we thought that we were the ones that had to vindicate ourselves and we had to defend ourselves. We forsake that mindset and we yield to You, our vindicator and our judge, and we submit to Your judgments and to Your ways, and we declare, have Your way in those situations.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes, God.
And now in a place of authority where we are forgiven and set free, we stand in that place of authority and we command the works of darkness that have been swirling around, that have been trying to attack, that's been trying to invade, that's been trying to influence. And we command it in Jesus' name to bow its knee. And we declare the kingdom of God is advancing into those areas, into our community, into our homes, into those situations. And we declare Jesus to have His full reward in every single one of those situations. This is the day of celebration that harvest has begun.
Yeah.
This is the day that beginnings of harvest is happening. And we bring forth the first fruit of our own lives in submission to You to say, Lord, here is my life. Take it and use it as You will. Lay it on the altar. Let it burn up for You. Let it be set ablaze for You. Let it be waved by the priest for You. Whatever You want to do, we yield to You. And may the harvest, may the laborers that are called to gather the harvest, may we rise up and realize we have work to be done. Mm-hmm. A work that we cannot do in and through our own abilities or in and through our own focus or in and through our own strength, but it comes through the strength of Almighty God. Mm-hmm. It comes by extending the kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so we say, Holy Spirit, have Your way in us.
Yes.
Have Your way in us. We yield to You. We yield to You. We ask for Your direction and Your guidance. We ask for Your work, for Your fruit, for Your spirit, for Your character, for the way of doing things. We ask for You to be imprinted in our hearts and in our minds. And Lord, let us with sincerity and truth move forward in what You've called us to do. Let every one of us stand in a place of not only forgiveness, but also freedom from any leaven that the world is trying to influence us with. May we not be entangled or tripped up by the sin that so easily besets us. But let us put our focus on You, who endured the cross and endured the hostility from sinners. And yet you did not forsake the way of Your Father. You are our example, and now You are our focus. May every heart and may every mind be so focused on You on a daily matter that we don't see and we're not impacted by the influence of the world around us. Let us truly be the ambassadors and witness You called us to be. We celebrate today the outpouring of the Holy Spirit so that we could be endued with power to be a witness. And we declare today, thank You, Holy Spirit, for being in us and with us. And You've called us to be a witness. And we march forward under those orders of our High Commander to lay down our lives to fulfill the mission You've called us to do. We yield to Your wisdom. We yield to Your ways. We yield to Your instruction and to Your guidance. We yield to Your Word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And ultimately, as a declaration of faith, we trust You. And we are confident that those who place their trust in the Lord, they will not be disappointed. Just right now, I just believe the Lord in His goodness and His kindness. He's not only cleansing and washing, but He's also making us so very aware of any place in our thoughts, any place in our perspective that has been influenced by the world. Lord, this week as we are continually surrendering to You and declaring, Lord, have Your way in our lives, thank You for continuing to purge out anything that's not of You. Thank You for not only creating awareness of what not to do, but also awareness of what to do. Thank You, Lord, for not only the freedom from wrong attitudes and wrong perspectives and our emotions being hijacked by the wrong things, but we also thank You, Father, that You are imparting to us the right things and the right attitudes and the right perspectives and the right ways of thinking. You said in Your Word that if any man asks for wisdom, that You would give it to us liberally and freely. And so, Lord, we ask for the wisdom of Your ways. We ask for the wisdom of Your truth. We ask for the Spirit of wisdom to abide in our hearts. And that when we are dealing with situations and circumstances, that we will find that we humble ourselves to hear from heaven and to do what heaven declares. Thank You for that wisdom. Thank You for that empowerment. Thank You for that freedom. Thank You that You do what only You can do in our hearts and lives today, right now. We all agree and declare Jesus is Lord over our lives. Amen. 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 Does anybody want prayer for anything?